Hello, book besties. Welcome to episode 14 of the Books and Mockers podcast. I'm Shai.
I'm Em.
Grab a drink, get cozy, let's talk books. Morning to you. It's an early one today.
It is. Well,
we say that, maybe that's a little bit dramatic. It's not, I think it's like just a normal time for most people, for us.
Yeah, I mean, we usually record at 10. It's 9:30 today. So, you know, it's, to be fair, for a Saturday, you have to set an alarm. Well, I have to set an alarm because I'd have slept in otherwise.
I set an alarm as well. But for some reason, the 30 minutes earlier feels really, really different. It feels like I had to start getting ready a lot earlier, but...
Yeah, do you know one thing, though? I have noticed that starting at 9:30 as opposed to 10, the light outside is so different. Like, it's so much darker than it is at 10 o'clock. So
yeah,
obviously that must be the time. Although it's really rainy here today, so it's really dark and grey and miserable. So
it's raining down here as well. So
it might be dark all day then. But never mind. How are you? What's been happening?
I'm really good. I don't actually have too much. I did start Chestnut Springs, which...
And?
I love it. I mean, I'm only on the first book, as you guys know, like just ridiculously slow over here. But oh my God, I'm obsessed with it. I do want to know, though, I can't say too much without spoiling it for you, but I want to know if either Lucy Score took some stuff away from Elsie Silver or if Elsie Silver took some stuff away from Lucy Score.
Really?
Really? So you'll understand when you start reading this, but there are some, like... Honky Tonks comes up, as we all know, that is Knox's bar in Knock 'Em Out. And there are a few similarities between a certain main character of Flawless and a certain main character in one of the Knock 'Em Out books. So much so that it feels as though one of them drew inspiration from the other. I'm not going to say copied, but almost.
Yeah. What I would say is they're both small town and
no, you can't not. Please do not defend it until you read it, because the it's not just okay. Like, oh, the hair color, it's a massive plot. It's very, 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 very similar, actually identical.
Okay.
And I feel like if you say something, you're going to regret this.
Okay, I will say nothing. I'm excited to read Chestnut Springs. So yeah, as Shai sort of alluding to, I have not read Chestnut Springs yet. It is next on my list, to be fair. My week, I have to say, has been completely taken up, overwhelmed by Magnolia Parks and Daisy Hates. Woo! So this is a series that you've read previously, and I always wanted to read it because it's quite different to the stuff I usually read. You'd sort of said to me, you know, I think you'll enjoy it. I think it's sort of your sort of thing. I'm on the third book, so it's going to be a 6-book series in total. We've got 4 out at the minute. Fifth one comes out 13th of February, and then we don't know about the sixth one. I'm on my third book, which is the second Magnolia Parks book, and I am honest to God obsessed with these books. The thing is, it's interesting because you're very much a Daisy Hates girl. I've gone the complete opposite, and I'm obsessed with Magnolia and BJ's relationship. Don't get me wrong, I love the second book. I love Daisy and the characters in that book. It didn't affect me the same way that Magnolia Parks books are. Those books, I have laughed out loud. I have cried, sobbed crying at them. Yeah, just absolutely obsessed.
But I knew that would be the case, though. I knew that you was never going to be a Daisy Hates kind of girl. I don't know. But then again, I don't know how, as a romance reader, you're obsessed with the toxic. I'm like, it's so far from a romance book that I'm surprised.
I think it's just because they are, I don't want to give too much away, but because they are so obsessed with each other and they're so in love, it pulls me in completely. I find the books frustrating because every time you think you're getting somewhere, you then don't. But then I suppose 3 books in, I'm getting quite used to that now. So I'm the first book, my hopes were built time and time and time again. And every time something didn't work out, I felt like it hit me like a boss. Whereas now, kind of, you know, two and a bit books in, I'm not like that anymore. I'm now thinking, okay, this seems like it's going to go well, so it's not. I'm more prepared. But again, it's just, And we spoke about this when we discussed Nevra a few weeks ago, but it's Jess's writing. Her writing is just incredible. And I'm absolutely inhaling these books. I love them completely.
Yeah. It's something that I told you before you started, I was like, Jessa Hastings does not do a happy ever after. Like, that's not her, she will not, listen, she's not going to end a book on a high just to appease you. It's never going to happen. So you just have to be prepared for the heartbreak the entire way through. And it is heartbreaking the entire way through. I'm actually very impressed that you've managed to do them all back to back, mostly because I've hassled you too, I think. But I had to take like months worth of breaks in between mine because I was like, oh God, I need to recover.
I'll be honest. I think there's potential that they put me into a bit of a slump. I feel like the fact that I need to have something really strong to go on to next. And I know we're going to talk about our sort of February TBR, but I feel like I need something really strong next because this series has the potential, I think, to tear me a little bit apart. Mm. And I could quite easily go into a bit of a reading slump, which I don't want to do. I think the problem I'm having, that for anybody that hasn't read the books, you sort of have the first sort of year of Magnolia and BJ, and then the second book follows Daisy, Christian and Julian's POVs, but the same time period as the first book. And one thing I actually struggled with was I almost wanted to go straight onto the third book just to find out what happened with Magnolia and BJ. And that's the only thing that I've struggled a little bit with, is because I just want to know what happens next. Because you're right, Jessa leaves you on a cliffhanger. She leaves you just absolutely ravenous for more of that story. So I almost feel like I'm having a little bit of a break in between because I'm getting a different story. Although it's the same characters, I'm getting a different sort of story. And Daisy Hates is so different to Magnolia Parks in that, well, one, you've got the three POVs rather than the two, so it's not just about the relationship between two characters. And also in Daisy Hates, again, don't want to give too much away, but because of the line of work that they're in, you know, it's very action-packed, there's a lot going on, there's a few different subplots, whereas you don't have a lot of that with Magnolia. But yeah, no, I as I said, I'm absolutely obsessed with the series, but I need something really strong to follow on because it could quite easily make you stop reading for a while, certainly me. So I don't want to do that.
Yeah, she's a special kind of author. I don't know if there's another author out there that really writes like her. And I said it to you before, like with a romance author, you kind of know what you're getting. And I think that's the allure, I guess, of Jess's writing, because it's so far from what you expect. It's poetic.
Absolutely. And I think what's really interesting is Jessa is Australian, lives in California, and the books are set in London. So I sort of love the fact that it's not London written by a London author. I do actually and really enjoy that.
As someone who grew up in London, can I just say that she's got it spot on? There's not a single thing that she has fumbled. Like she has really, really got it spot on. So
yeah. I mean, I think the research, I don't know if she maybe spent some time in London. I was about to say, I think she must have, just from the level of depth that she has in the books. But I absolutely love it. And I think it's interesting because the things that you said sort of frustrated you about Magnolia and her books are actually things that I really love. And kind of vice versa with Daisy Hates. I know you said you really enjoy the sort of action side of it, which I enjoy, but it's also something that I'm a little bit like, I could do with a little bit more of the relationship side. So But again, I think that goes back to the fact that you're more fantasy girl. So you love that sort of action subplot, a lot of different things going on. Me being romance, I just love the love story.
Yeah, I think when I first went into Magnolia Parks, I wasn't prepared for the fact that it's more character based, not so much plot. So there's not very much plot happening. It is just all character development and character based. And when you go into the book, it's just important to keep that in mind, because I think if you're expecting anything different, you're not going to enjoy it. And For me, the third book got better because it felt like there was more of a plot and I enjoyed more of their history. And I said on my Instagram, actually, when I started, oh my God, what is the third book called? Is it The Long Way Home or Into the Dark? The Long Way Home. The Long Way Home. When I started it, I actually said, I can feel myself becoming a Magnolia Parks fan because I needed her history to connect with her. And I didn't get that really in the first book. So whereas yeah, you get that with Daisy Hayes's first book, you get a feel for like her mom and how her dad dies and all of that sort of stuff. I found it easier to connect with her knowing all of that, I think.
I think with Daisy Hayes, you're right. You get a lot more from the outset about them, about their family dynamic. But then I think because you have it from Daisy, Christian, Julian's POVs, Julian and Daisy are brother and sister. So you need to know a lot more about them and their family. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if, because I mean, these were the first books that Jessa wrote and published. So, you know, you can almost see, you can see not her writing change, her writing doesn't change, but she's potentially growing as an author as the books go on. Because you do see sort of a few differences in them. But yeah, sorry, I completely took that off track. But yeah, reading those this week, absolutely obsessed.
Mm-hmm. So one of the announcements that I guess we want to make is just the sort of change in how our podcast is going to be going forward. Obviously, we've been very review based, and that's fun. But I think for both of us, it took away some of the enjoyment of reading because we do enjoy such different books. We were reading books that necessarily we weren't excited about in that moment to accommodate the pod's needs. And yeah, so we've decided to step back from reviews and make it just more of a conversation with bookish updates and things.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're still going to talk about books that, you know, we're reading individually. There will be times that we cross over, especially when new books come out. So, for example, we have obviously Magnolia Parks, Into the Dark is coming out next month. We have, for example, Daydream by Hannah Grace in June. We'll both be reading those books and we'll obviously discuss them on the pod. We're also very aware that we want you to listen and enjoy the pod and be able to listen it every week. And when we're doing reviews, if you haven't read the book, you're not going to listen to the episode, which of course you wouldn't. Why would you? Because we do talk about spoilers. And, you know, that's just not what we want to do. We don't ever want anybody to feel that they can't listen to us because they haven't essentially, you know, done their homework and read the book that we're reviewing. We will still be doing sort of mini reviews on our Instagram. We do want to be a lot more active on Instagram. We want to talk to you guys a lot more. We want your sort of input on what you want to hear on the pod as well. Is there anything in particular you want us to discuss? Is there anything, you know, any questions you have for us, you know, anything like that? We want you to get involved. We want this to become, you know, a more of a community, I suppose, rather than just, you know, we do the pod every week and, you know, and put some stuff on Instagram. So yeah, I think we've taken that decision. And as Shai says, I think it's going to mean that we have a lot more control over our TBRs as well, because we each have our own personal TBRs that we're sort of getting left to the side for the pod. And, you know, that there are books that we're doing for the pod that we both want to read, but not necessarily when we had slotted them in for the pod. And I think that's the thing. I know, Shai, you're quite an organized reader. You like to sort of have plans of what you're reading next. I'm more of a mood reader, and I do like to plan what I'm going to read sort of the next few weeks, next sort of couple of months, but I don't necessarily enjoy saying, right, next I'm going to read X, then I'm going to read X. I will sort of say this is a group of books and I'll pick what I feel.
I want to correct you because I'm a mood reader. I changed the way I was reading to accommodate the pod. I've never planned a TBR in my life. I have a TBR list, but I've never sat down and planned what I'm reading that month ever. I've never done that. And it's evident in the fact that actually what I put on my TBR for this month, I didn't follow. So I actually had Throne of Glass because I thought I want to try and start this now because we have these plans and I need to try and get through it. When in actuality, I wasn't ready to read it yet. And I started it and I didn't enjoy it. And I had to go to Flawless because I wasn't ready. So yeah, I'm a mood reader, but I changed what, because I'm a slow reader, I kind of had to plan my months because I'm not like you. I can't read 18 books in 2 weeks. So I had to like be on top of it to make sure I was reading what was needed for the pod, which was difficult. And I think that that's why I lost some of my enjoyment, because I couldn't get excited, because I thought, I don't know if I'm going to want to read this. I know what my TBR says, and I know that I want to read it eventually. Do I know that I'm definitely going to want to read that in February or March? It was so difficult for me to actually commit to Chestnut Springs, because I know that you kept saying we should do Chestnut Springs, and I thought, oh god, like it's six or five books, and I thought, I can't tell you that I'm gonna want to read that next month or the month after. It was difficult.
No, and I completely agree, and I'm sorry if I got that wrong. I think I picked up wrong, and I think it's maybe because we had a conversation before where you said, oh, I've sort of planned out, and I picked up that wrong. But no, I mean, I completely agree, and it's difficult because, for example, like for the longest time I've wanted to read Magnolia Parks and Daisy Hates, but I just thought, I'm very much with the series, I like to do it start to finish, or you know, as much as the series is out, I like to stick with in that universe until I'm sort of exhausted with it. And I felt, you know, the books there's times actually that they're quite heavy as well. And a couple of times I have to say I have actually sort of put them aside and thought, do you know what, I need something just bright and breezy. And I've done a couple of rereads of different things just because they are quite a lot. But I also wanted to be able to give time to it. Now, if we were still doing reviews on the pod, I would then have to pick up another book to make sure that I was prepared for the pod. And yeah, you're right. The whole reason we started this is because we both love reading. We love books. And we love talking, and it was sort of taken away from that, and that's you know, we never wanted to get to that stage. So I think it's a good decision. I think we're moving in the right direction. But yeah, please, if you have any ideas for us for what you want us to do, any questions you have, anything you want to know, just send us a message on Instagram, and we'll absolutely look at it. So talking of TBRs, what do you potentially have coming up, or what, how are you feeling about kind of the next few weeks?
Right, so there are a few that are on top of my list, and I'll just give you guys an idea, because I can't say in which direction I'm going to go, because I also read according to my personal mental state. So if I'm feeling anxious, I find it difficult to read a fantasy because there's a lot going on and it's a lot to try and keep on top of. Sometimes also there's a lot of death, and there's a lot of like action, and it can feel very intense. And if you've got anxiety, you'll know that that's not what you need in that moment. So providing that my mental state is stable, potentially we'll be starting the Throne of Glass series. For the last couple of weeks, I have felt quite anxious. And so, which is why I've got more of a small town romance, because it comforts me. If I stay in this state, I think I'm going to continue with the Chestnut Spring series, because I'm absolutely loving it, and I love the world that Elsie Silver has built. Now, they're both series, and there's obviously like, there's like 8 books in Throne of Glass and 6 in Chestnut Springs, right? Is 6 in Chestnut Springs? 3, 5, 5. No, really? It's 5. Yeah, you're right. We both just spun around to look at our bookshelf.
We're both looking at our bookcases. Hang on, let me quickly count these books. Yeah, 5.
Yeah, so providing, well, depending on my mental state, it will be either one of those series.
Well, that's exciting. I mean, the thing is, I think with both of them, they're obviously very, very different. I mean, let me ask you a question. Would you ever switch about? So would you do maybe a Chestnut Springs and then pick up a Throne of Glass and then flick between them? Or do you need to stick with...
Potentially. It depends on the author. So with Sarah J. Maas, I actually got through the first 4 books of ACOTAR back to back. I couldn't leave the world. It didn't feel right for me to leave that world and enter a different one. So I'm anticipating that Throne of Glass will do that for me as well. Whereas I find it easier to leave a romance world and then go back to it. So I think I need to see how I feel after Flawless, because if it ends in a good way, I'm likely to move on to the next book. If I feel like, is it going to be more of the same? Because sometimes you do get that with small town. It's like a different, things are different, but it's like the same vibe. I may move on to Throne of Glass, which is risky, because once I'm in Throne of Glass, I don't know if I can then leave. Don't I? Have to see.
I think I think the thing is as well, and this was actually something that I found when I read the Knock 'Em Out series, I found it quite easy to step away from and then go back. It was like visiting. I actually, because and you've sort of said that Elsie Silver does the same sort of world building with her small town. I feel like it's a place that you do become quite comfortable and you're happy to visit. And I think Chestnut Springs might become that for me. I actually, I'm sticking with Magnolia and Daisy just now until I get to the end of these books. On the 13th of February, we have the fifth Magnolia Park's Daisy Hates books come out. I have pre-ordered it, so it will be arriving on the 13th. I probably will read that just because, I'm completely enamoured with these books. It is a big one, though. This one's about 720 pages, so it could take a little while, even for me to wade through. So yeah, want to do that, want to do Chestnut Springs. I say with Chestnut Springs, don't know if I'm going to do the full series sort of start to finish. As much as I enjoy doing that with the series, as I say, with Small Town, I do find it easy to pop in and out. So I could, and five book series, it's quite a big commitment to go through. There's also a couple of others that I do want to look at. They're on the 24th of January, Detained by Luna Mason, which is her fourth and final book in the Beneath the Mask series. It's mafia romance. It comes out on the 24th, and at some point I would like to read that. And I also really want to read the first Lakefront Billionaires book by Lauren Asher, Love Redesigned. So I think they're the books that I'm putting in my February TBR. Whether I go there or not, because I'm such a mood reader, we will see. But they're the ones that I'm sort of setting up for. Yeah, I think that's where I'm going next.
I completely forgot actually that we had a Magnolia Parks. I'm so lost. January is one of those months where I'm like, where am I? Is it? Where am I? I completely forgot that we had the last Magnolia Parks book coming. Well, Magnolia and BJ book coming out in February. Yeah. Oh, I need to rethink. Okay, so potentially that book, she knows what she's doing though, right before Valentine's Day. It kind of makes me feel like she's not going to break our hearts. Why would you do that to someone at Valentine's?
But the thing is though, see, I was thinking about this and I don't know if I put too much thought into it, but I thought, okay, so she's releasing it on the 13th of February. So you can either say she's given it time that boyfriends can order it to gift for Valentine's Day, in which case, if it's a heartbreaker, why on earth would you gift that to somebody? But on the flip side, I thought, well, why not release it on Valentine's Day for, you know, the romance lovers? If we're doing it on the 13th, is that because it's a bad ending? So I don't know. I mean, the thing is, I think with Jessa, one thing we've learned is I don't think you can predict anything with her.
No.
And I mean, again, don't want to give too much away for anybody that hasn't read the series. She has potential with this book to make or break me, I'll be honest. About a quarter into the third book, which is the second Magnolia and BJ book. So, you know, I know there's still a lot of water to go under the bridge with this book before we move on to the third one. But in my heart of hearts, I know how I feel about the relationship and how I would like it to end. But as I say, with Jessa, I just don't think you can predict anything. So I'm trying to keep a really super open mind, but I have no idea what she's going to do to us. No idea. But I think this is why I think the minute the book is in my hands, I'm just going to eat it up, because I need to know. And I think that this is the problem I have with series that are a continuation as opposed to interconnected standalones, because with the likes of Knock 'Em Out, Chestnut Springs, you can sort of pick them up and put them down. With this, because it's a continuation, I need to know what happens. And I know if I get that book on the 13th, but I'm reading something else and have to wait, my head will not be in the book I'm currently reading. So I need to make sure that I am free on, you know, from the 13th, so that I can put all my energy into it.
Yeah, I'm almost scared though. Like I'm, because we don't know when the release date is for the final book, I'm scared to start and finish it. It's like Iron Flame.
yeah. Oh my gosh, I know. Although I think it's slightly different because this is the ending of of Magnolia and BJ's story. So it's, you know, the sixth book will be Daisy Christian Julian. So at least we should get a finalization to Magnolia and BJ. But still, yeah, I'm really nervous about it, because if she doesn't end it how I need her to, I don't know how I'm going to come back from this. I say she has the potential to make or break me with this book.
I would like to think, I've convinced myself that because it's right before Valentine's Day that we're going to get a good ending. I also is wait, hold on. Is BJ's birthday not February the 14th? BJ's birthday is February the 14th. We're going to get a good ending, guys. I can feel it in my bones.
Oh, stop. Do you know what? The thing is that she's putting the characters, all of them, all five of them from both both sides, she's putting them through so much that I think, please give them a happy ending, please. And I think the difficulty is, I think they will have their happy endings. It's whether it's going to be with the people we want them to be. I think that's going to be. But then also there's a question of, can they have a happy ending without those people? I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
No, it has to be 100%. It has to be Daisy and Christian, and it has to be Magnolia and BJ. There's no way that a happy ending could ever come with any other combination. I don't accept. And I think that maybe we're giving Jessa a hard time because she has to end these books this way because it's a series. If you think we're coming to the end of the series, she can't cause heartbreak at the end because no one would ever read her books ever again. What's the point? We all know that it's just going to hurt endlessly. So why would we ever bother? I'm going to go with that. I need to go with that.
I love your optimism. And I'm going to eat into your optimism because I have to. My little romantic heart cannot take her tearing these characters apart. But yeah, we shall find out in a few weeks' time.
So I think that's it from us this week, guys. We're going to wrap it up here.
Yeah, don't forget to come and join us on Instagram at Books and Mockers Pod. Please join in the conversation. We will be doing a lot more on Instagram coming up. And yeah, hopefully we'll have some more interesting stuff for you next week.
Yeah, so speak soon. Bye.
Bye.